While we have enjoyed sunshine and dry weather, we actually need a little rain. Doesn't look like we'll get any through the weekend, but the residual effects of Francine maybe, but it won't be over the weekend. Meanwhile, Paul Rasmussen, our anchor man, spent a lot of time in New Orleans. And so I asked Paul, who do you know down there that we can talk to about the situation with Francine hitting the coast as a Category 2 hurricane? Blair Coleman, welcome to KDKA. I understand you're a friend of Paul's.
I don't claim it in public, but yeah. Very good. Good friend. Glad he's up there and out of our hair. No, I kid, of course. We love Paul down here. We miss him.
Yeah, Blair lives in an area of New Orleans called River Ridge, which is near the Mississippi River and is a fairly nice neighborhood. What's going on in that area of New Orleans this morning, Blair?
Well, it's still dark, so they tell us not to go out, of course. But the water around me has receded off my patio. It was like millimeters coming into the apartment. The entire breezeway was a little bayou streaming that was nearly coming in through the front door. So luckily didn't get any. And the strange thing about it, I didn't lose power. The power here goes off as it sprinkles. And there's a big stink about Energy Louisiana with always going out. And I never lost it, so I was fortunate with that. But they still have, at the peak of the storm last night at about, I think it was around 9 o'clock, they had 350,000 people on the south and north shore of Lake Pontchartrain here in the city and across the lake. That was 350,000. That's dropped. They've gotten power back on, and now only 297,000, I think they said this morning, we're still without power.
And so. Blair, is the storm itself is now north of Lake Pontchartrain, back over land, right?
Right. It's up near Macomb, Mississippi right now. It stopped here by me. I mean, it was storming and stopped. It was like you were in the eye of the hurricane, but it never started raining again. It was mostly the northern sector storm, but it came down where I was. We had about 6.5 inches of rain in 4 hours.
Man, that's a lot of rain. Blair, how long you been living in that area?
All my life, basically. I've left a couple of times.
How do you deal with the threat of this periodically? Like, you know it's going to happen. You're on the Gulf Coast.
You hope and you pray that you're going to miss it, and you don't want to see somebody else get it, but you always hope it goes somewhere else. And it's just, it's difficult, because, I've taken some medication that I have to have refrigerated. So then I've got to try to figure out what I'm going to do with that. So I've got like seven gallon bags of ice in my freezer just in case I need it. And with all the water, you couldn't go anywhere. I mean, Jefferson Parish is basically all the streets, all the drainage canals that pump into the lake. They have one pumping station that pumps into the river. For whatever reason, all of Jefferson Parish basically was underwater street-wise. A lot of the houses took water, but they really not going to know about the businesses and everything until the sun comes up. And I'm staying home. I'm not going playing around in that stuff.
Well, Blair, I'm glad to hear you're doing well, and I'm glad that the water stayed out of the apartment. Keep everybody in line down there for me, will you?
Sure will. It's great talking to you guys.
All right. Yeah, man. Any friend of Paul's is suspect, so it's nice to talk to you.
All right, Mr. Larry. Just take him and have him a Primanti sandwich.
There you go. Come visit us.
I know he's missing all the pool boys down here.
Absolutely right.
He often talks about the cuisine in New Orleans, so Blair, take care of yourself.
I'll have to send you some seasoning up that way, Larry.
Sounds good to me. Blair Coleman.
All right, good deal. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Blair.
River Ridge, you say, near the Mississippi.
Yeah, River Ridge. That's a nice area in Jefferson Parish, right next to Orleans Parish. And I would just like to throw this in. I forgot to say this earlier. Blair was one of the great top 40 disc jockeys at a legendary station, WTIX. Much like the KQV of Pittsburgh back in the day, for many, many years.
Yeah, I don't know how people live under that threat all the time. It would, you know, we're kind of spoiled here because we're shielded from a lot of the extremes.
Absolutely right. That's one of the reasons I like living here so much.
And the sunshine this summer, you know, we usually complain we don't get enough sun. Well, that hasn't been the case. And I mentioned this to you a couple of times. I've lived here all my life, except for a brief stint in Florida, you know, on a college. I can't remember a summer where we've had more sun.
I've mentioned it before, and I'll follow up on it hopefully some point today or tomorrow. We'll get in touch with the weather people and find out just how much sunshine we've had by comparison and see just how sunny it's really been.
Yeah, keep in mind that January, they told us it was the cloudiest month in recorded history in Pittsburgh.
That's right.
So, kind of strange. Hey, coming up, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival that's Saturday with the Superstars lineup. And I want you to hear from this Alaskan Airlines pilot. Remember the door that was blown off that jetliner?
Well, what he had to say about this incident really caught my attention.
The Outlaw Music Festival Pavilion at Starlake this Saturday, and an all-star cast including Bob Dylan. I like Bob Dylan. Just I saw him once in my life. It wasn't that long ago. And we were joking. We had no idea what he sang, but people loved it anyway.
Sure they did.
(laughs) 412-922-1020. You get to see Willie Nelson. You get to see Mr. Bob. Also, John Mellencamp, Robert Plant, and Alison Krauss, and a whole bunch of other musicians, too. Pick a number, Paul.
Two.
Number two. 412-922-1020. You all set, Aaron? All right. Hope you enjoy that. You talk about a big weekend in Pittsburgh. A lot of good stuff going on. A lot of fun stuff. We mentioned the North Shore, and now that show is going to draw a lot of people with a star lineup like that. Meanwhile, just released this Alaskan Air pilot who was at the helm when the door blew off.
This was that door plug. It's where a door would go in certain configurations, but this is one where they just put a plug in, and they figured that the bolts on that thing were not tightened down the way they should have been, and so that door plug flew out of the plane, right off the side of the fuselage.
Unbelievable when you see it, and most people have at least seen a video of that in the hole, and normally the depressurization would suck anything inside out. So if you know, if you weren't in your seatbelt, that could, we've seen this happen before for other reasons. Here's CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Alaska Airlines pilot Emily Whiprude sounded the alarm. Something had gone terribly wrong.
The first indication was it was an explosion in my ears. And then a whoosh of air. My body was forced forward, and there was a loud bang.
Did you know at this point there was a hole in the airplane?
No. I didn't know that there was a hole in the airplane until we landed.
We just depressurized the sediment between 10,000, and we need to return back to Portland.
It was so incredibly loud, and I remember putting the oxygen mask on and trying to transmit to ATC and wondering, why can't I hear anything?
A door panel on the Boeing 737 MAX had blown out with enough force to rip off her headset. But Whiprude says their training took over as the two pilots worked to safely land.
And I opened the flight deck door. And I saw calm, quiet, hundreds of eyes staring right back at me. And I looked at my flight attendants and I said, "Are you okay?" And in that response, I heard, "Hole, 4, 5 empty seats, and injuries."
And are you thinking when they said empty seats that you'd lost people?
Yes. And I remember it not taking very long for us to confirm we had 177 souls on board.
That had to be an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah. I was so thankful. I was in shock, disbelief. Everybody was there.
Whipper is back on the flight deck telling us it was very important to her to get back in the saddle. She and her captain will be honored by the Airline Pilots Association for safely landing that damaged airplane. Chris Van Cleve, CBS News, Washington.
Can you imagine just being seated in that plane and have that happen?
Terrifying. Ugh. Absolutely terrifying. It's one thing when you're at altitude, let's say you're, 36,000 feet cruising along and everything's just fine. And then it's another thing when there's a hole in the fuselage and you're able to look out and see just how high up you are. It's one thing when you're looking through those smaller windows in the fuselage, you get some idea of how high up it is. But I have a thing about heights. I would just, I don't know if I would have. Wow.
What about the spacewalkers? Talk about heights. And, this past weekend, I want to mention this because this was so important. It kind of got lost with all the news and the politics of what's been going on. And, of course, 9/11's remembrance yesterday is the fact that 427, U.S. Air Flight 427 that was inbound from Chicago to Pittsburgh 30 years ago over Hopewell Township near the airport, suddenly there was, it took a couple of years to determine what happened, that there was a faulty, I think it was a flap on the back.
The actuator for the rudder would suddenly shift to one direction, and when the pilots would try to correct to go in the opposite direction, they were putting pressure on the pedals that steer the rudder, it would just make the problem worse.
And it wasn't the pilot's fault, but yet,
no,
I knew one of the people on board, Frank Santa Maria, was a young man working for PNC Bank, and there were a number of PNC employees who were on that flight. And I also know somebody who was supposed to be on the flight who didn't make the flight. And that's been 30 years now.
But I know two people who spent a fair amount of time at the crash site. One of them was a chaplain for the people who had to, sort through the wreckage. Oh. And the other one of our former coworkers, Barbara Boylan, spent a fair amount of time out there. I think David Balorado did as well back in that time. So, yes, it seems like a long time ago, but if you went through it, from what everyone I've spoken to, it could have happened just yesterday with the way they feel about it.
And the good Dr. Mike Hutchinson of Animal General, LaSalle Plaza and Cranberry, joins us every Thursday at this time. Doc, good to see you. You can see Doc via our video at kdkradio.com with our live stream. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you, too. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to the weekend. Looks like we're going to have a lot of fun on the North Shore. You got Pitt in West Virginia, the backyard brawl. You got Pirates playing at 105 at home. Then at 3:30, you got a kickoff. It's going to be wild down there. What are you doing?
Yep.
You doing something fun? Do you ever go to football games?
No, we're going to the, I think out in Ligonier they have the tug-of-wars and the pole-throwing and, the old Scotland Highland games.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to go to that this weekend with the kids.
Isn't that where they throw stones?
Yeah, they throw those big poles. They look like, utility poles.
Yeah, that's called a Tabor toss, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. How you doing, Paul?
Good, thanks.
Very good. Well, let's jump into the questions today. And by the way, if you ever want to ask Dr. Mike a question, you can go to our instant access too and email us and we'll pass it along. Instant access at kdkradio.com. First one comes from Frank in Moon Township. My dog's nose is dry and cracked. What could be causing this and how can I treat it? Thanks for your help, Doc.
Yeah, unfortunately, most of the time that's either from allergies, aging, or sun exposure. I mean, that would be the three most common I can think of. And some dogs get dehydrated. They lick it like crazy. They keep licking their nose, and that can cause it. And then there's some diseases, autoimmune diseases, like lupus and pemphigus, things like that that could cause it. But for the most part, what you can do is get a dog-safe nose balm. And two of the ones that I like a lot, one is bag balm. You hear me talk about that a lot.
Right.
It works very, very effectively. It's got peanut oil and lanolin in it. And then another one is just you can get vitamin E oil with lanolin in it. And that is very safe and good for the nose, too. And then you just rub it on a couple times a day. And if it's not working, you should see your vet.
Do you ever hear of Zim's crack cream?
Yeah, I have.
No further
comment.
I always
go to the bag bomb because it's just like that duct tape, 1,000 uses.
I got you. I got you, Doc. Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, my. Dr. Mike, let's see here. Michelle in Moon Township says, my indoor cat seems to be losing weight despite eating normally. What could be causing this, and should I be concerned?
You know, that one, and if you could give me ages, it makes it a little bit easier. But in older cats, we think of things like hyperthyroidism, where their thyroid gland's overactive and they're hungry all the time, but they keep losing weight because their metabolic rate goes up. Diabetes can be a cause of that, where they're eating well, but yet they're losing weight. Kidney disease is very common in older cats. And I hate to say it, but cancer is too. So I would have your vet check that out, because if a cat's eating normally and losing weight, something's going on. And parasites, inflammatory bowel disease, things like that could cause nutrient malabsorption as well. So a whole bunch of things I could think of, but that cat would have to be examined.
Speaking of cats, you know, you and I have talked a lot about ticks and dogs and people. But here's a question from Alex in Swickley. What type of flea and tick protection or prevention is best for indoor-outdoor cats? I find ticks on him, and it grosses me out. Alex.
I think, Larry, you remember that when I brought in those ticks. And
oh, yeah, Paul. So John Chumway and I were here, and Doc came in studio, and he brought all these little parasites in little glass tubes.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah, I haven't been the same since. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I know. The engorged tick looks like a grape. You know, they get so much blood flowing in them. Yeah, they're disease-caring experts, and I appreciate that question. NexGard Combo is one of the products for cats. It has a dewormer in it. It kills mites, and it kills fleas and ticks, most importantly, especially this time of year. We're at the peak season again. May and September, you know, is the peak deer tick season. So be wary when you're outside, because unfortunately, you're going to get exposed if you're walking in tall grasses or into the woods. So, you know, use the old Listerine and water trick. You can spray it on your clothes. You can spray it onto your dog's coat before you go out. 9/10 of the regular Listerine, 1/10 water, and you just spray it over their coat. It's very safe, and it helps repel the fleas and ticks. It doesn't kill them necessarily, but it really can reduce the numbers. And then there's products like Revolution Plus, Bravecto, that you can save on cats. Speak to your veterinarian, and whatever they recommend, I would use. Just remember year-round protection for ticks here. Western Pennsylvania is a hotbed for tick-borne disease, so we recommend year-round protection.
Hey, Doc, just a bonus question from a family physician. He said, hey, please ask Dr. Mike, do you check for blood pressure in animals?
Yeah, of course we do. So sometimes you get dogs and cats that come in and they're just so hyper. You know, they're growling, they're very, very upset. So the blood pressure readings aren't very useful because, of course, they're high. It's that white coat syndrome when they come in. But yes, we do it all the time. If you get animals with kidney disease, we monitor the blood pressures. Yes, very, very simple procedure that we do. We check the blood pressures when we're doing surgery and things like that. So yes, we do it in animals as well. It's a very useful tool.
All right, Doc, always appreciate your insight and input. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
You too. It's great seeing you guys. Take
care. You too. You can see Dr. Mike on the radio. It's kind of cool. Go to kdkradio.com in our video stream.
He's sporting his Penn State hat, even though the Nittany Lions, I guess they have a break this weekend.
Already?
Yeah, they do.
That's an early buy.
I know. That could bode trouble later in the season.
What have they racked, like eighth?
Eighth this year, yeah, so far. I don't know about them yet.
All right, well, have a good weekend then without your football team playing.
Yeah.
All right, coming up, we're gonna give you a chance to, you know, we talked to Bill Hillgrove, speaking of college football. Tomorrow night, Bill Hillgrove will be inducted into Pitt's Hall of Fame, along with the late Dick Groat. And this is the first time broadcasters have ever been inducted. And we're going to talk to Bill about the backyard brawl with Paul Rasmussen at the top of this hour. I mentioned Bill Hillgrove. How about this season for Bill? And a lot of people were confused when Bill stepped aside from his play-by-play duties for 30 years with the Steelers. They just assumed he was retiring, but he didn't retire from Pitt.
And thankfully, I'm glad he didn't.
51 years as the voice of the Panthers football team. I believe he's going to be going into 56 for the basketball team. And I know he's going into the Pitt Hall of Fame tomorrow night, along with his old basketball partner, the late, great Dick Grote. And I'm looking forward to catching up with Bill and then seeing in that moment, he's got a tremendous amount of respect and support, as you can imagine, Paul. Jackie Sherrill, the legendary coach, is coming in. Tony Dorsett, Jimbo Cover. Probably have more Hall of Famers in there from the NFL. So it's pretty cool. So we'll catch up with Bill.
Bill's one of those people that has the gift of when he speaks during a football game or a basketball game, his voice imparts a sense of action and excitement. It's just the way it sounds.
Yeah, I'll put a little montage for you.
Thank you.
Coming up.